Congressman Peter Welch is with us, and we love having him. He is a great friend, and he really tells us what's going on. Congressman Peter Welch, Democrat of Vermont at large, in office since 2007. I guess the question I have for you is, when are you going to fix these bums who are bothering us on our home phones all the time? There must be some way out of it. I'm sure you get them also.
Well, I do. These are robocalls that we all absolutely hate. And actually, we passed, with bipartisan support, a bill to, as best as we can, crack down on this and to give the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, authority, and the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, authority, to break these guys' backs, because they're really, really annoying everyone, and it's outrageous. The technical capacity to do that is always the challenge, because you come up with one way to stop them, and they find another way around it. But there is a bipartisan outrage at the abuse of these robocalls, and we'll just keep at it.
You know, Peter, we made a bomb. we have done all of these things. We stopped the pandemic mostly now. And yet, there's got to be a way to put these people in their places.
Well, there's technical issues as well as legal issues. And legislatively, I think the Congress is in support, and has been, of doing whatever draconian thing we can. But there's technical maneuvers. And some of these calls originate from well beyond the jurisdiction of the United States. You know, you get a call where it looks like it's coming from Albany next door, or Bennington.
It does.
And in fact, it's in Croatia.
I know that we get frustrated sometime, but I'll just ask you, would it be out of the question to impose capital punishment for the people who are making these calls?
We'll take that up in committee.
Okay. So, Peter Welch, a deal on infrastructure. Are you satisfied with the outlines of the package?
I think it's a really positive step forward, as step one. I mean, the infrastructure package is $1.2 trillion. The infrastructure package would help every community in the country. So there would be universal benefit if we were able to pass this. Our roads, our bridges would be improved. Broadband would be extended. Water systems that are in enormous need of repair would be helped. So I think it's really good. Number two, I think it's very good if we can do something, finally, that is bipartisan. I think that's a real boost in confidence for the American people, that on something that we've been talking about doing, that needs to be done, that's going to help whether you live in a Trump district or a Biden district, we get it done. I think that's a good thing, but it's step one. All right, there's a much more additional ambitious program that President Biden is supporting and promoting, and I'm supporting, and of course that's the investment in the recovery of American families, in American communities. So that would be phase two. We don't have Republican support on that. So the infrastructure bill, that where there is an agreement, $1.2 trillion on things that we all know need to be done. Let's do it, and let's do it together, and then let's go to step two and get that done, which incidentally would be beneficial to families, whether they voted for Trump or they voted for Biden.
Now, what if the president of the United States says, and I thought he had said it, if I don't get one, I'll give you one, I'll sign that bill, of course, but if I don't get two, this extra money that you're talking about, then I won't go for number one. It seems to me he has to go for number one. It gives him a win, and it gives the American people a win. But do you think he's making a mistake in tying the two together?
Well, I hear his commitment a little bit differently, his statement a little bit differently. I think it reflects his strong commitment that even if we get the infrastructure bill, and we do that on a bipartisan basis, that's great. He is fully committed to his plan to try to get family leave for folks, to get a pre-K education, to provide a couple of years of college for kids and families, to essentially get a lot of these environmental provisions that are so vital to the protection of our planet. So what I'm hearing the president say is, to many of us who absolutely are committed to a strong environmental agenda, strong family agenda, strong worker training agenda, that he is going to pursue that and we're going to get our vote on it. That's really how I'm interpreting this.
Is there anything in this compromise or this round of discussions that was left out that bitterly or not so bitterly disappointed you?
Not as long as it's phase one. You know, if this infrastructure bill were passed, everything in it would be good. But if you ask me if that's all that we're going to do, I would be bitterly disappointed. Both on the ambition side and on the revenue side. But, you know, we're going to get a chance to vote, and it'll probably be through reconciliation because, again, Mitch McConnell is Dr. No here. You know, pre-K, no. Paid family leave, no. Environmental commitments, no. So we're going to have to do that without him, and that's where reconciliation comes in, but that's where we're going to be able to include provisions that I think have broad popular support, including among Republicans around the country, even if it has intractable Republican opposition from leadership from Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy.
Do you expect that there will be major changes as a result of these compromises, or do you think that there might be something that gets in the way and that we won't see some of our optimism met with fulfillment?
Well, the big question I have is whether the five Republicans who were part of that negotiation with five Democrats will be able to find five more Republicans to vote with them. Because my view is that everything we've seen from Mitch McConnell, he'll do all he can to sabotage it. But we have five Republicans who are in that negotiation in good faith, and I think they're serious about proceeding. Can they get five more? That's really the question. And they'll have to get that five, I expect, in face of opposition from McConnell. So to be seen. But my hope is we'll get it. I would like us to get $1.2 trillion in infrastructure. We need it. Everybody needs it. And I'd love to see that be done on a bipartisan basis. And then if we're successful there, then we go on to the reconciliation bill that includes a number of other things that are of vital importance.
But, of course, there's some politics here. If the Republicans go along with it, it might actually help them in the 22 by-elections, and the Democrats let them open the door by doing that. Is there a political consideration that goes into all of this compromise?
Well, my political consideration is that success is beneficial for everybody, and I think it's a really upside-down world where when you have an opportunity to do something that's good for the people I represent, I don't want to I resist doing it because some Republicans may claim credit. You know, I'm fine with that. If some Republicans want to come to Vermont and take credit that we got broadband built out, you know, come on down. You know, we'll have a good time and we can do a Zoom meeting together. I'm all for it.
I know in your house there is no filibuster. There is in the Senate, of course. But there's a big debate in this country as to whether we ought to get rid of the filibuster. I know we've talked about it before, but could you bring us up to date on your thoughts?
Well, my view is the filibuster should go. And the reason I believe that is that it has not been used as an opportunity to promote debate. It's been an opportunity to stifle debate. It's not been an opportunity that's been used by a minority to be heard. It's been a tool used by the minority to dominate. I mean, and by the way, the filibuster is a joke. You don't have to even talk. You just make a phone call as a senator. You can be sitting in your office, call down to the clerk and say, hey, I'm filibustering, in effect. And you don't even have to go on the floor and do that Jimmy Stewart thing where you stand there for hours and hours and hours and make your case. So, you know, even Joe Manchin has said maybe we ought to go back to the, quote, talking filibuster. Then there's some physical activity and pain, and the spectacle to the American people is visible. So the filibuster has been brutally abused, and it has gone a long way from anything related to giving the minority the opportunity to be heard.
One last question in this session. How will the infrastructure bill that has now seemingly been agreed to by at least five Republicans. How is it going to get paid for?
In the legislation proposed, the biggest pay for is going to be boosting the enforcement budget for the IRS so that we can send a little reminder to the super wealthy in this country that, oh, by the way, you've got to pay taxes because they have the highest avoidance rate of any of the sectors of income taxpayers. Your chance of being audited is probably greater as a school teacher than if you're a multi-billionaire. And the same for the corporations. So that's a good thing. That's really a good thing. You know, we're going to have to come back to pay for us if we do the reconciliation. And I happen to believe that the corporations that are offshoring their money, it's outrageous and they should pay their fair share. You know, if you bought a pair of Nike sneakers, you paid more for the sneakers than Nike paid in income taxes. And they made billions of dollars. So we've got to come back to that. But in this compromise, it's going to be focused largely on enforcement. But you know what? We should have done that a long time ago.
It's always great to talk to our friend Peter Welch, who is a man I so admire, the only congressman coming from all of Vermont. Peter, what a wonderful gift you give to us when you show up and talk to us. We so appreciate it. We have one more of these to do, and when we're done, we'll let you go home to Vermont.
All right. Thanks, Alan.